Kids are dismissed for kids' praise. As they're leaving, I'd like to just share a little incident that happened to me about 10 days ago. I was sitting in front of 24/7 gas station waiting for a friend to show up so we could go in and have some coffee together. And at about 10 or 15 minutes before I knew he'd show up, as I was there, a young man approached the gas station, but he didn't go inside. Instead, he went almost inside to the ashtrays outside, and he proceeded to dump it over, and I thought, what is going on here? And so I was staring at him, and from the side, he didn't see me, and he dumped all the cigarette butts out on the sidewalk, and he proceeded to sit on the sidewalk and just unroll each little butt and dump it into a little baggie and do it with all the cigarette butts so that he had a lot of tobacco in his baggie. And then he rolled his own little cigarette and smoked it. And I thought, this is very interesting to watch. And so I was kind of amused watching this guy. He looked homeless, I guess. And I thought, man, I should probably go talk to him. Nah. And then I open up my phone to my Bible app, and I read the passage that we're looking at this morning, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And I thought, at least it doesn't say I needed cigarettes and you bought me a pack. Because then I was off the hook, right? Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I felt a little convicted after reading that. Surely there was something I could have done for this young man. When I looked up, he was gone. He was gone. And I could not find him anywhere. I got out of my car, I looked around the building. He was gone. Do we really believe Jesus' words? If so, then I missed an opportunity to minister to Jesus disguised as a homeless young guy. Well, who is Jesus referring to, after all, when he said, whatsoever you do for the least of these brothers or sisters of mine? Many people believe it's just those in the body of Christ. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, you know? That's who we should care for. Whatever you do for them who are in need. But Klein Snodgrass, my New Testament prof, would disagree with that because he looked at this word, least of these, in the Gospel of Matthew, and the way Jesus used it was not always referring to believers in Christ. Sometimes they're referring to family members, biological family, sometimes the family of God, but other times the family of humanity. And then a great scholar and commentator, F.F. Bruce, would agree as well. He said, in this passage, Jesus may have had Christian brothers and sisters of mine, okay, who were poor, who were needy, suffering. We'll give you that. But ultimately, this passage pertains to any suffering people anywhere, which is consistent with Jesus' ministry, right? And the Apostle Paul, who traveled to Jerusalem many years after he was preaching to the Gentiles, and it was still a controversial thing. Who are you? Why are you preaching to the Gentiles? This is for the Jews. We are the chosen people. And so Paul was led back to go to Jerusalem, to the Jerusalem Council. And he met with the Jerusalem Council, and they recognized that God was indeed using this Apostle Paul, this convert, to preach the same gospel message in the same way that Peter and the other apostles had preached it to the Jews. He was doing so to the Gentiles, and God was bearing fruit in supernatural ways. And so they recognized that in the Jerusalem Council, and God gave them the discernment, and they said, Paul, continue to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, just the same message that we have been to the Jews. And then they added this one command in Galatians 2:10, that Paul, that you should continue to remember the poor, the very thing Paul said I had been eager to do all along. Remember the poor. When Jesus approached the rich young ruler, he told him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Apostle James wrote, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then one might conclude, well, that sounds like works righteousness, that somehow we can participate in good works and earn our inheritance into God's kingdom. I mean, verse 34, Jesus said, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you, because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And we know from Scripture that salvation is a free gift from God. We know that. It's called grace. We become new creations in Christ based on the gift of Christ that we receive Him. And this gift is the root of our salvation, this gift of grace we've looked at. But if our salvation is to be authentic, then it must be accompanied by action, must be evidenced by our compassion toward others, which is the fruit of our salvation. Did you notice in Matthew 25 that the righteous had no idea that they were doing anything for Jesus when they were helping others, much less earning their place in God's kingdom by doing all these good works? It didn't even dawn on them. Jesus, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or in prison? What are you talking about, Jesus? Well, they were simply doing what came naturally to them as disciples of Christ. They were doing exactly what they saw their master doing when he was on the earth. Because God's love naturally flows from within for those who are saved, which is the fruit of our salvation. The Apostle John puts it this way. He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. That's the evidence. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And love is action. This was Jesus' message, his first message that he taught in Luke chapter 4 when he went to his hometown and he unrolled the scroll in the synagogue and he read this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. All throughout Scripture, we see how God sought out the poor and the oppressed through his Son. In Israel, five different categories of people would have been considered poor. Those who were economically poor, those without material possessions, those who are vocationally poor, those with immoral jobs like tax collectors or prostitutes, the rejected. There were the gender, the women were considered poor in this very highly patriarchal, oppressive society. Women had very little rights. Those who were health, who had health conditions, who were sick or diseased or even demonized. And then those from the certain race, according to the Jewish majority, the Gentiles were considered poor in many cases. Caring for the poor is not just one of many ways that Jesus came to reveal his kingdom and to extend his kingdom. It was his primary way that he extended his kingdom. It was his first sermon. I've come to proclaim good news to the poor. And he extended that very same purpose to us, his hands and feet, the church. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now the least of these in our culture are often looked down upon. They're the ones who generally are regarded as insignificant. They contribute very little to the good of society because they don't have the resources, maybe, or they're troubled in some way. In fact, they're viewed as a burden to society by many, and therefore often neglected or overlooked or criticized by the established culture. They're oftentimes lumped into categories like they're the homeless, those on welfare, the third class or the third world people, those who are mentally ill, the unemployed, the druggies, the gangbangers, the illegals. And Jesus urges us to open our eyes and choose to see individuals as ones who were created by God in His image. They were fearfully and wonderfully made because that is how God sees them. But Jesus, He would have said, see them as people that I died for, as people that I've been pursuing. I was amused watching this guy roll his, not roll a cigarette, but unroll cigarette butts. And I'm thinking, that is just so weird. I've never seen this really up close and personal. And he dumped it all over the sidewalk and how rude, you know. And I'm really critical of him. I'm not seeing him with the eyes of Jesus, nor am I seeing Jesus in him at all. See them as people that I died for. People that I'm pursuing. Jesus was accused of eating with and accepting tax collectors and sinners, all the riffraff, to which he responded to these religious rulers criticizing him, hey, don't you know that it's not the healthy who need a doctor? I've come not for the righteous, but for the sinner, for those who are sick. And so last week, one of our own, Luke Gitchell, He gave me a call, and apparently the night before he had picked up a guy who was wandering the streets, passing through McPherson. He had his suitcases or his bags, and he was down by the refinery. So Luke picked him up and got talking to him, got to hear his story a little bit, and he said, hey, I'll get you a hotel room. So he got him a hotel room, but Luke was unsure as to what to do with him the next morning. And so Luke picked him up, and he brought him by the church here. I was waiting on them, and we met in the cafeteria or the cafe there, and this guy was pretty old, and we just sat down. I said, hey, do you want something to drink? Nah. Are you hungry? Oh, no. I ate food at the hotel. I'm good. Well, perhaps you need a bus ticket. See, he was passing through, heading out west, I believe, to work as a rancher. He knew of a job that was opening by someone who knew him, and so he's heading that. I said, do you need a bus ticket? I said, I've ridden buses before, and no, I can't do that for reasons that he gave. I said, well, what do you need? He said, nothing. I'm just really, really grateful that this young man picked me up and gave me a place to stay. It was an awfully hot day and night, and oh, I'm so grateful. And then he went on to say, you know what? In fact, when I travel all around the country, people care for me a lot. And I would say 90% of them are Christians, just like Luke here. So my heart is just filled with gratitude for him. That's all I want to say. Well, what do you need? Well, maybe if you give me a ride to the entrance to the highway and I'll find a ride. I always do. And then I got another call last week. Mike McVicker, another countrysider, he was called into the American Legion. A young man apparently had been experiencing an emotional crisis because of a trauma that he'd experienced in his life. Two or three unexpected deaths of friends and family members. And he tried to suppress all his feelings as much as he could, but he could no longer contain those emotions. They just exploded that morning last week. And he made his way to the American Legion, being a vet, a young vet. And he just said, I need someone to talk to. And they called up Mike McVicker. Mike came over, and he met with him and talked to him. And Mike decided that, hey, it'd be good if a pastor were here to pray with him. And Pastor Jeremy's not here, who ministers there. So they called me up, and I went and prayed with this guy. And in the meantime, this guy received a phone call. Mike was able to drive him to the place where he needed to get his support, to get his help because this guy was in serious, serious crisis. And the Lord intervened through both Luke and Mike this past week. Why did they expend their energy and time on these strangers that just happened upon their lives? Why did they care like this? I would contend because Jesus identifies with the least of these. And Jesus experienced such great suffering in his life. You know, he was hungry and he was thirsty and he was emotionally distraught, and even to the point where he sweat drops of blood, and he was homeless and he was rejected and all these things. Jesus understands, and then he sends his people, the body of Christ, out to those who are hurting because he understands. He wants us to come to a place where we can better identify and empathize with the least of these who are hurting as well, to be his hands and feet. So, Jesus loved these two guys enough to handpick a couple countrysiders to say, hey, here are my disciples. I'm going to send you to be faithful. And they were willing to act as Jesus' hands and feet, because it comes naturally for God's children to care for those in need. And we can all understand empathy, can't we? If you've ever been a parent or a grandparent, you can empathize, because you know sometimes your kids are teased or they're left out, they're excluded, they're dismissed. Sometimes they're lonely on a Friday night because the group of friends didn't invite them, and they're sitting in their room thinking, what's wrong with me? And so not only do you empathize with them, you take the next step and you comfort your child or your grandchild. We've all done this. But Jesus said, it's good that you love your family members. It should be high priority. But he says, if you love those who love you, what credit is it that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He goes on to say, love your enemies, and etc. Jesus identified with the least, and so must we. But there's a little bit more to Jesus' message here. See, Jesus taught in Matthew 25, notice how intimately he identified with the least of these. When he said, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me. One-to-one ratio. In other words, in serving others, we are serving Christ. Again, I'm not sure we really believe that. When we see people in need, that Jesus is there identifying with them so much. I don't think we believe that even as Christ followers sometimes. But it seems pretty clear to me. Mother Teresa understood it, who went to India, Calcutta, and she was asked how she meets with the Lord, because she had a great relationship. And her response was, I meet with Jesus once in the morning, my morning devotions, and then for the rest of the day in the faces of needy people that I serve. St. Francis of Assisi, and he was an upper-class, wealthy young man, but he left his family because he was unhappy and incomplete. And one day, he was riding his horse. He came upon this leper that he found so repulsive because of the ugliness of the disease, but something or someone compelled Francis to jump off his horse and just embrace this leper, fling his arms around this leper. And when he did, the face of the leper was transformed in the face of Jesus. And he wrote about that. On a cold winter day, a Roman soldier named Martin of Tours entered the city. A beggar stopped him and asked for money. And Martin said, I don't have any money, but man, I got my soldier's coat here. And he saw that this beggar was cold and he was blue and just shivering. And so he somehow tore his inner coat or whatever from his outer coat, and he gave it to the half of it to this guy. And so that night when Martin fell asleep, he had a dream, or rather a vision. He was in heaven's courts, and the angels were there worshiping Jesus, and Jesus was there in the midst, and he was wearing a soldier's coat. And so one of the angels said, Master, why are you wearing that coat? Jesus answered softly, my servant Martin gave it to me. We all want to see Jesus. We spend our whole lives trying to see Jesus. We go on retreats. We go to church services and praise songs and 5-year Bible study programs. And And we really want to see Jesus, but Jesus replies, every time you see someone in need, you see me. When you see someone who's sick, someone in prison, someone evicted from the apartment, someone who's battling depression, someone who lost their job, someone who no one wants to eat lunch with them. I think of my friend Tate, when I was a youth pastor, went and left his popular table and went to this table of a kid who was kind of a misfit. And Tate said, man, that was really hard. My friends teased me relentlessly and relentlessly, and they almost rejected me. When we see people whose visa bill is bleeding red ink, who feels overwhelmed by the present and the future, who wonders if it's even worth staying alive, when you see people like that, you see Jesus. And the astounding news is when we take the next step and serve them, we are serving Jesus. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You're serving me. And he will say it when we're judged, stand before him one day. Loving Jesus in the least of these, we will be separated, the sheep from the goats, depending on how we respond. It will be our final exam, if you will. Someone stated, no one gets into heaven without a reference letter from the poor. And so the last part of Matthew 25 is, if you didn't do these things for the least of these, Jesus said, you did not do them for me. And then go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Well, I missed my opportunity at 24/7. Holy Spirit convicted me once again. Someone might say, but he would have just taken advantage of you. You're not going to give him money. I wasn't going to give him money. I could have done a lot of things for him, but I probably wouldn't have given him money. I could have bought him things. I could have encouraged him. I could have prayed for him. I could have shared with him. I could have let him know that he's heard. I could have listened to his story. I could have done many, many, many things for him in the name of Christ. But if we help people in need and they do take advantage of us, they will have to answer to God. God's the judge. However, if we do not help people in need, then we will have to answer to God. So what will we do the next time we see Jesus in the least of these? I want to conclude by sharing an opportunity that we have this next week, shared in the first service, how we can grow in our capacity to care for the least of these. Connor talked about the Olympics, and I noticed all the teams in the Olympics, and as I, you know, China and Ethiopia, and you know, I thought of all these lands and seen all these athletes cheering, but then I thought of their home countries, and many of these home countries are oppressed. It's illegal to be Christians in these home countries that they represent. And there's a lot of pain, you know. I don't think we Americans think much about the children of other countries who have to walk every day for water, for miles, water that may ultimately make them sick, or these people who have to sleep in shacks or on the streets because they're displaced, or they're running from danger, or they struggle with hunger pangs every day. Many of us have never gone a day feeling that hunger pang like they do. Or they encounter persecution that would force them away from their homes and cities, never to return again. Matthew 25 encourages us not only to remember those around us, like at 24/7 and in our church, but encourages us to remember those brothers and sisters from other countries who are oppressed. Pray for them. Do what we can to treat them as we would treat our family member. To help us grow in our empathy, to identify more, we have a special challenge this next week to step out of our comfort zone. I was anxious about this part here, but the staff, we decided we'd participate in this Matthew 25 challenge, and we're going to invite whole church to do this for 7 days. It's a 7-day text challenge. We're going to get a text every day on our phones. If you receive texts or give texts, then we'll receive a challenge every day. We'll hear a story a personal story from someone, help us to empathize and identify and grow, and then it'll offer us reflection questions to pray about, either individually or with our family members. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to watch a video here on this Matthew 25 challenge, and then we'll conclude by one more example.
Then the king would say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
The Matthew 25 challenge was a transformational moment for my family and I. There was one particular day when the challenge was to sleep on the floor. And I walked by my daughter's room, and she was already there on her sleeping bag reading her Bible.
The Matthew 25 challenge was an incredibly spiritual experience for me personally. God was teaching us different things every day, and sharing it with each other was really exciting.
Well, when it came to the Water Day challenge, three words come to mind: caffeine, withdrawal, headaches. Going without coffee all day was a lot harder than I thought. I'd get these headaches, but every time I did, it would remind me of the 6 kilometer walk that women and children have to do to get unclean water.
My first thought was, this will be easy. I grew up missing meals and sleeping on the floor, but my daughters, not so much. They were challenged to come out of their Wi-Fi life and actually experience what kids around the world experience every single day.
So that's the challenge we have. Again, we'll receive a text message every day on our phones, or we can get emails too if you don't text. We'll hear stories from kids and other people who are hurting so we can better understand. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I went on mission trips, and just like the kids who went to Unite, they came back and they're like, "I've never experienced anything like this before." You know, in the first service, one student said, I've never understood what it meant to, you know, the family of God worshiping together like this. I've never seen anything. So it transformed them. When we experience mission trips, they change us. They do more for us than they do for the people that we serve in many cases. Well, this can be very transformative for us when we do this together as a church. Because prayerfully, I think the Holy Spirit's in this. And I want all of us who have a phone, this is how we're going to get text messages. And if you don't have a phone and can't text, then let us know in the office too, and we can set you up on email as well. But what you do is simply do this. You're going to go to your little text icon on the front, you know, little bubble text icon, and it'll pull up like it says on the left, just your menu. Okay, what do I do then? And then you look at the bottom right or wherever, it's a little pencil, you hit on that, and then it looks like the right then. It says a 2, and so 2, if you want to, you know, if you want to text your sibling, you say 2 Agnes, you know, and then how you doing on the bottom, you know, where it says plus, and then you start typing in your conversation. But on the top, what you're going to do is you're going to type 256170. Okay, do that right now. Everyone has a phone? Get it out. Some of you are just standing looking. I don't see your phones out. Everybody get your phone out. You're like, no, this is where Jesus calls us to act, all right? Everyone get your phone out. I want us to do this together as a church family, because next week we'll celebrate this, all right? Type 56170. If you don't know how to do this, look around and find someone a year or two younger than you and ask them, how do I do this? And they'll help you. Or we can help you after the service is over. I'll be glad to go around and help you do this. It's simple. Type in 56170, and on the bottom where it says a plus there on the right, then you're going to type, not hello, how you doing? You're going to type Countryside M25. Countryside and then M25. You know, they don't have to be in capital letters. And then hit send, and then you'll be set up. Every day you'll receive text messages and a challenge. And so I pray that we all do this together, all right, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Now, if you miss a day for some reason, you don't have to opt out. Just go on to the next day. All right? If for some reason you're unable to do one of these challenges that are offered, then improvise, or you can go on to the next day. So don't opt out, opt back in. But it has the potential to change our lives. I'm excited to see what God's going to do with us. And then you can, here's the challenge card. You can place this on your refrigerator. And by the way, on the top here, it says text Countryside, and it gives the instructions there as well. If you haven't figured it out yet, you can do this. Put this on a magnet on your fridge to prayerfully participate. And then next Sunday, we'll have a special celebration service that I don't think we'll soon forget. So let's go to God in prayer. So Lord Jesus, I pray that you shake us out of our apathy and shake us into a new awareness of what you're doing in our world and what you desire to do in your people, the body of Christ, your hands and feet, because your heart is breaking literally every day because of what's happening all around us in other countries. Lord, you've chosen your church to be the change agent in this world, to offer light in the darkness, to offer hope in hopelessness. We are your plan. We are, each individual and together. And so I pray, Lord, that you do things way beyond what we could ever expect or imagine in the life of our church, Countryside. Do something significant, I pray, and give us eyes to hear, or eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing, I pray. Amen.